it seemed like a good idea at the time to agree to cycle 110 miles.
Yes,
Albert, Bill, and 114. Thank you. And Albert's been training all year, twice a day. That's what my day will be like tomorrow. But it feels a bit strange to come back. It's been a year since I've been back in the UK. Sharon's been back. Her mum's not been well. I've been back to Europe, but not to the UK. And the longer I stay away, the stranger it feels. I won't say Zambia feels like a home, but you become more adapted to living there, and coming back to the UK feels strange. And there's definitely there's a culture shock going there, and you get the reverse when you come back.
Yeah.
So it's my pleasure to just share a few things about what's going on in Zambia. It's quite a general talk, just because I like talking about it. And then at the end, there'll be an opportunity to ask some questions if you have any. So, to God be the glory, though, of what everything that's going on in Zambia. So, growing in Zambia. Just to give you an overview, a lot of numbers on that slide, just a bit about everything Hope in Zambia does. We do programs to help people with HIV, 16% prevalence of HIV in Zambia. We help orphans from families where parents have died from AIDS. We help. We have programs to keep girls in secondary school, because if you can keep girls in secondary school, the chances of them picking up HIV are vastly reduced. A lot of research has gone into that. We do programs to improve the level of education for particularly in the early years for young kids. We do programs to help single mothers and grandmothers usually start small businesses. So we've got bakeries, tuck shops, sewing enterprises. And when I say we do all that, I mean Sharon and I help with that, but it's a team in Zambia. It's about 20 people now coordinating efforts in Zambia, and many people in this room, most people in this room, are involved. We're all the we, helping in those efforts. So I certainly don't mean Sharon and us and our family, but it's the wider we who are involved in these programs. Not going to go through all the numbers, but you may see we're in a lot of different places in Lusaka, and if your maths is really good, then we reach about 9,000 people.
Awesome.
9,000 people are helped in some way. That might be with a small business, that might be that the kid goes to an after-school club. Different interventions in different ways, but it's a lot of people for a small charity. Mm-hmm. 9,000 people in Lusaka. So, really, you remember probably some new faces, some people I don't recognise, which is really nice. I'm Steve. I was at this church for a long time. We'll talk about that later. It's helpful for me to go back and look at what I talked about last year and what's actually changed, because we talked about, we want to do this, we're going to do this, we've got this idea, but what have we actually done over the last year? What have we actually done this last year? So we won a program, it's called a Dreams program, and it's about keeping girls in secondary school. So lots of acronyms, adolescent girls and young women, keep them in secondary schools. A lot of research from USAID that shows that if you can keep a girl in secondary school, there's a lot of evidence that shows that their chances of contracting HIV are vastly reduced. They stay off the streets, they have an activity to do, i.e. going to school, they get some sort of education, the quality is often variable. But if you can keep the girls at school, then they can keep safe and healthy. So we run these clubs. We promoted this idea to USAID and the American Department of State. These are in the days before Donald. And Sharon and her team played a big part in applying for this grant, and we we won it. It was a tough process. There was a lot of documents we had to get together. We had to get organisation in shape. We had to have financial policies. We had to have gender neutrality policies. We had to up-to-date child protection policies. We had to be a proper, well-documented, sorted-out organisation. And they funded the clubs across 10 sites in Lusaka to help keep the girls in school. How do we keep the girls in school? We help them to enjoy education. So there are some science kits, which for a conversation with Albert, he'd seen them in India. We brought some into Zambia. 20 different experiment-based kits that help them learn about science. So it's a little thing they can take and they can learn about how a plant works, for example. And before that would have been a guy on a blackboard with a piece of chalk drawing a leaf, saying sunlight, water, photosynthesis, isn't that amazing? Now they've got a little circuit board and they go out to the garden, they get a green leaf, they get a brown leaf, they plug them in and they cover them with sun, remove the sunlight, uncover it, and they can do little experiments, interactive experiments in these clubs. 20 experiments. So this is a picture of the girls' training. Actually, they're not the girls, that's the facilitators training and how to use these little pits there. They get educational tablets, which are preloaded with a curriculum. They get training on how to make sanitary ware, because that's one of the reasons the girls often drop out of school, because they're embarrassed, they're not taught to properly about how to manage their change. So we've helped them, given them the skills and the material to do that sort of thing. We get educational talks, people to mentor them and come in and present them, and get them excited about education to stay in school. So that's a great program. Started October last year.
Oh, yeah.
Some more stuff. So this is the sort of thing that is fun. You can tell what you have for dinner. Learn about the enzymes and the digestive tract, and here are some of the girls in one of the club, and you can see they're smiling, they're engaged. It's dropped below 30 degrees, so one of them's got a hat on. Yeah, that's right. I've gratefully turned the heating up today, actually, because it's quite cold generally. that's Precious, one of our workers, who's really brilliant. This time last year, when I talked to you, I showed this slide, exact same slide, and it was about opening the learning tree. Yes, it's Nicole here.
She's
teaching. Oh, is she? Yeah. Nicole designed that sign, that's up in Lusaka. And we talked about opening it on July 11th, because I talked before July 11th, and that's a target opening date. So this is where we are now. That was taken not long before I left, actually. So the school's been renovated. John played a big part in helping to renovate that building. It was very dilapidated. The roof was leaking. It was a state. Here are some of the kids learning in one of the classrooms. We've got some playground equipment. Lots of people have been through Zambia, had lots of visitors. There's a guy who came through New York, from New York, came through Zambia. He's passionate about Zambia. I don't really know why. But he is, and he's gone back to his church, and he's raised money for those swings and slides. Now we've got playground equipment, and the school's open, and we've got all up. We've got about 15 children, so we'd like more, but we've got 15. Amen. And some of those are orphans and vulnerable children from the local compound. So the school's doing what it says. It's got what it set out to do. It's got fee-paying students alongside orphans and vulnerable children at this site in Lusaka. That's what we have done.
Awesome.
This was a picture of the farm. Now the farm's kind of associated with Hope. It runs alongside Hope, but it's not inside Hope. This time last year, in 2016, I'd done a pilot site in my garden in Lusaka. That's on the left there. And I had an idea about setting up a permanent farm in the bush. And there is the bush, and it's along the top there. You've got the fields. You've got this green thing here. I call it the bush because there's lots of bushes. The bushes, and you can see the water running through there. So that was in the rainy season. So the idea was to set up a business there that could grow things nicely, sell them into premium markets in Lusaka and further afield in Zambia, generate an income, and a portion of the income could go back to home. So it's a standalone business. And that was the vision. And that's really all we had from a permanent farm point of view, but like this time last year, a field. So this is where we're at now. Uh-huh. This is where what we've done, some of the things we've done on that field. My construction manager, Terry, some of the guys involved in the construction and the running in the farm, and they're very proud of their blue uniforms. We've built an aquaponic system, which I stocked with fish about a month ago, because it's just starting to get cold now, so you need to stock while it's warm. I put a polytunnel over the top of that to keep them warm. I got some funding from various sources, but from Swiss Re, which I was very pleased to get, a resource award. This is being planted whilst I'm away. It's my right-hand man for aquaponics. His name's Hitler. I've just about got used to saying that. It's taken 2 years. But he's a lovely, lovely guy. Very hard working. Not at all like his namesake. he's quite a simple guy, but he's sharp. I really love working with him. I love working with all those guys. And he's just stocking that tank with some fingling fish, which are he's looking after whilst I'm away. So that's what we've done there with the farm. The plan of the farm is to take the model of the aquaponics and to help other Zambians, other smallholders, adopt the same model, produce quality food, and sell it into supermarkets. And these are some pictures of some of the guys we've talked to, both around our farm. You can see our farm just here. This is the neighbour. These are some of the guys who have been interested in adopting the system, and some of those we'll select. And with the profit and the grant from the Swiss Re Foundation, we'll give them some capital to help set up aquaponic systems. We'll take the offtake from those farms, brand it, and push it into the premium market of the ShopRite, Pick and Pay supermarket chains in Zambia. That's the idea. Yeah. So that's what's happening there. Ah, we also did some chickens. So these are some chickens. I stocked those about a week before I came. So we've got a big chicken house. Again, John helps me with the chicken house. I might be able to show you. It's quite cute, this. Don't get too attached to them because they're going to the supermarket. So there's 2,500 of those. But to do that, we had to buy the land, we had to get title to the land, we had to get a fence, we had to drill boreholes for water. There's no electricity, so we had to put in solar. We had to build a building, buy the equipment, and I had to find someone who knew what they were doing with chickens because I haven't got a clue. But the guy I've got now does, and it's going well. I've got some pictures this morning, and it's all happening. So we're doing chickens, aquaponics, and I'll do some field crops as well, some cabbages and tomatoes, to set up a farm business. I also wanted to talk. So you've seen growth in the programs, in terms of the Dreams program, 9,000 people who we help. You've seen growth in the social enterprise for Learning Tree. So you've seen growth, literal growth, of chickens and fish in the farm. There's also been growth in our family as well. Zambia taught us a lot as a family. I think we were quite naive when we went over. We seemed like a good idea at the time. Let's go. But it really is quite tough sometimes, actually. And I'm sure Sharon will have her own view on this, but sometimes it's tough, but it's easier to see how you're being constructed and directed and being helped by God, is my experience. So there's a few scriptures I'd just like you to look at, if you wouldn't mind. And these are the sort of scriptures that I turn to when things get difficult, because they do get difficult, and your wider network of people who can help and you can have a chat to and who can relate, and it's not going to be a vast culture gap, it's really our family. It's the four of us. I'm the only person who looks like me in the church. You know, I stand out, and so along with that, it's the way I look, it's the way I think, the way I act, my background, my education. So that network of people to relate to is small. And so you're forced to get down on your knees and pray. And you're forced to seek out help, advice and direction from the scriptures. And you're forced to... I'm not suggesting everything's easy here, because I do remember things are tough here. I ran a business here and that was really hard also. But you wake up in the night, I do, and you can't sleep because you're thinking about what sort of stuff that's going on. And you just end up praying through the night, looking at scriptures. Or you find an unconvinced reaction of the Holy Spirit. Someone will come through. The lesson at church will be particularly directed to the problem that you have. And one of the things I read, I want to share two of the things that I read or have read while I'm there, which would really help me. One is about resilience and the character of Peter. And I looked at the character of Peter and learned, you know, I've been in situations where I've got it wrong. It's been pointed out to me that I've got it wrong. So I've been rebuked. That's okay. I'm sure many people in the church have also. But I've never been rebuked to the stage where the Son of God has called me Satan. Peter was rebuked. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. Peter also denied knowing Jesus and he fell asleep in Gethsemane. You know, these are pretty major misdemeanors. But then if you look at what Peter did, he says, if Jesus said to him in verse 23 of chapter 16 in Matthew, he says, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind my concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. So how did Jesus react to that rebuking? Well, if you look at the beginning of chapter 17, only 6 days later, he was with Jesus at the Transfiguration. So that was really encouraging me. I read this and I was hugely impacted by it. And I know God directed me to this scripture. That he didn't stop, he didn't feel sorry for himself, he didn't get up, he didn't feel overwhelmed. A handful of days later, he was with Jesus at the Transfiguration. So that's, Peter's life has been a source of comfort and encouragement for me in what we're trying to do in Zambia. Reliance on God, Ezekiel 8:9. I've prayed this a few times when I thought, you know, have you seen those movies where a big wrecking ball comes and knocks down a building? Mm-hmm. About once a month, you feel like that. Once a month. And Sharon's brilliant. I've learned this. She's so emotionally strong, stronger than me. But I've prayed this prayer that I have a forehead of flint to be able to withstand these, the challenges. I'm not saying there are challenges here, because I know there are huge challenges. But what we found over there, we don't have a wider network of people to talk to. So the friendships we do have back here and people we are able to talk to has helped us immensely. And we found that we become interdependent. Our families become interdependent. So living as expatriates, we found that we have a wide group of people we can go to. So we do a lot of stuff together. we hang out a lot. We most of the times we eat together. At the weekends we we do things together. We go swimming, and Sharon and I work together a lot of the time, and that's made our family unit very tight. And it wasn't something we anticipated, but it's a brilliant side effect of we rely on the four of us. And I couldn't do it without. We couldn't do it without each other. I was 10 days in Zambia on my own while Sharon was over here, and it was horrible. But we have built. We started to build. We've got this build friendships within the church. So this is a photo. That's our front room in Zambia, and that's a family group meeting. So lots and lots of children. I'm just hanging out, eating popcorn, chatting. And we read some scriptures. So it has been growth within the church. And there's an excellent pastor within that church. He preaches messages that are about friendship, about love, about relationships. And he's great, really encouraging guy. And he's just a young man, so he's late 20s. But I've learned a lot from him. And I hope he'll come through. He's coming through London in December. I hope you get a chance to meet him. I encourage him to come through to Thames Valley.
What's his name?
Twamba. Yeah, he's a Zambian guy. But he's decided that he doesn't want to be a mechanical engineer. He's got a degree from South Africa. He wants to lead a church. And that's what he's doing in Zambia. And he's an amazing guy. Where to next? Where are we going to grow next? What are our plans? Well, we've been shortlisted for an EU grant off the back of the USA's Department of State grant. We've applied for an EU grant to take the work of Hope into a rural area. So we've designed a program to help reduce the stigma associated with having HIV, TB, or mental health issues. For a rural area of Zambia, because the levels of poverty and the difficulties of accessing healthcare are so much greater in the rural areas. We designed a program for that. We've been shortlisted, we're amazed to hear. We're praying that we get that grant. That grant would be part funded, 10% funded by the money we can raise from other sources. So that's what we really want to do next year. And we've got a program running at the moment to turn a preschool in Mutanderi, which kind of looks like that. It's not that great. John spent a lot of blood, sweat and tears and the emotional energy helping to rebuild the roof of that school and the grounds. And we want to turn it into something like this. And that's the TLT, the Learning Tree Preschool, in a nice area of town. Why can't these kids, these orphaned vulnerable children, a preschool that looks like that? So we'll do some work on that with Hope Volunteer Corps when they come. We've limited our places to 25 on the Hope Volunteer Corps. Now, I've never met the Dean Templar, but I've learned she's quite persuasive, and in a good way. And we're taking 43 people now. 43 people. And some of the money that they raise is going to be used on the grounds there. And at the moment, that this site is being painted and prepared for them. We've got pulled together bits and pieces of money from John's help from various sources. And this is our vision for the coming year, turning Mutanderi Preschool into this. We've had some support from some amazing people. And we haven't just been on our own, have we? I'll pick a few out. Here's one amazing person. Diana Critchlow, she runs preschools in London. She's been there, she's already done 3 months. She's gone away. We didn't put her off. She's come back. She's done about 2 months this trip. She's going to be there for another three months. And she's just really getting hands-on into the Learning Tree and to the Mutanderi preschool. Huge help. Duncan, remember Duncan? Yeah. Duncan from Durban. He disciples the church. This is Twamba, the pastor. Pip.
Yeah.
Pip. I've got a lovely little video of Pip talking to this baby, which is actually a plastic doll, which I won't show. She's running a group to help women have safe births, safe mothering, prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And Dennis and Juliana, they are running a team-building session again at the house where I live. And John and Rose, who have been supporting Zambia for at least 2 years, maybe longer, with the Capacitor Banjer program, leading that in the UK. Two buildings gone up in Lusaka, most recently with the Mutton Dairy preschool. So we haven't been alone, we've had support, some amazing people, wider we. Just final scriptures, a couple of things to leave you with. These were scriptures which were kind of the motivations for us, for going over to Zambia, the first one. I thought I was in a position where I was able to go, I don't know if everybody is, but I thought about what I was going to do with the income I generated, which I've been blessed with. And I remember reading this scripture. What am I going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns for what I've got, and I'll store all I have. And then scripture goes on to say, but you fool, tomorrow you may die. So that was one of the things that made me want to go, and then with the family to Zambia, it's one of the things I thought about. And then there's another thought. This is from The Road Less Travelled by Scott Peck. And if you want to grow, the only way, basically saying that the only way to grow is through pain and suffering. And you learn so much from those things, either in Zambia or here. That's not dependent on where you are. And it's only in those moments I found that you have to dig deep into the Bible, you have to search out the truth from God, what he has in mind for you, and he answers those prayers. So it's become evident to me that the only way to grow, we've grown this year as a family, as Hope Worldwide, in our relationships with the church, but it's not come easy. But we're glad to have grown. And what next for our family? We're back here looking at schools. Our parents are getting older. We're making some decisions. We haven't made any decisions yet. Sharon and I are going to take some time to think about what we found over these last days and weeks. But I think it's likely that we'll transition ourselves out of Hope around the middle of next year. Whether we'll transition ourselves out of Zambia, we don't know. But we'll transition ourselves out of Hope. And at that time, that'll be 3 years. But we've worked Hope for 3 years. And we will leave Hope stronger. It'll have some stable programs. It'll have a good team. But it won't be the end of the story. It'll still need leadership and support, time and energy, perhaps money. So if anything about this has inspired you, or if you've got any questions about what we're doing or what's happening with Hope, then please feel free to ask, and maybe your hearts are touched in a similar way to ours were, as you can see there. I think that's it. Thank you.